The pasuk starts, "Ve'elam mishpatim." These are the laws. Zok the Medrash, Rabbi Omer, "Kishem shehizhir Hakadosh Baruch Hu al Dibrais." Just like Hashem warned Klal Yisrael on the Aseres Hadibrais from 1 to 10, "Kach hizhir al Din." So too, Hashem warns us. Hashem gives us the laws about din, about dinim, about halachas, about the social order of societies. Lama, why? Shebo ha'olam tolui. Because that's what the whole world depends upon. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Melach b'mishpot yamid aretz," that a king through judgment will uphold the whole land. And as we say in Pirkei Avos that every person has to be mispalel b'shloima shel malchus. You have to daven for the welfare of the nation. Without the health and the well being of every nation, of every malchus, so it says, "Ishes re'eu chayim below." People are going to eat each other up. You can't have a society, you can't have a civilization without dinim, without mishpatim, without something that establishes a solid judicial system. And when the Torah determines the legal system of Klal Yisrael, it goes with what the truth is the Goyish society has also. And we put a lot of faith and trust in the human intellect. It says like this, "Don't follow the majority of the population to do evil." And then the end of the pasuk, "Acharei rabim lahatois." We go after majority. We go based on Sanhedrin, Anshei Knesset Hagdoila, Bezdin. You go always baser majority. The roiv rules. Now the roiv always has a miut. There's always a minority opinion. The teretz is we have a lot of faith, a lot of belief in the human intellect to make decisions and to decide on a moral code of society, that the judges have to be shayfet, they have to decide what's moral, what's not moral, what should society have, what should they not have. And the pasuk tells us, "Acharei rabim lahatos," but there's a tenai, there's conditions. It can't just be any rabim, any guy off the street can decide, can be part of that roiv. It's conditions. Conditions start, "Al toshes yodchim rasha liyos eid chomos." You can't be a false witness with somebody else. We don't want lawyers involved. "V'dalei seheder barivo," and even though you have so much compassion for the poor people, you can't give him always the benefit of the doubt in his judgments just because he's poor. "Loisate mishpot evyoincha barivo," "Midvar sheker tirchok," stay away from falsehoods. "V'noki v'tzadik al ta'arig," you shouldn't kill the righteous one in the din. And the most important, "V'sheichad loisikach," you can't take bribes, not just financial bribes, monetary bribes, but it's also emotional bribes. A lot of bribes going around in the world. You can't take bribes. Once you have a bribe, you're biased, you have an agenda. Bribes are going to change the mindset of the shayftim, of the judges, to a point where they can't decide right between wrong and moral between immoral. So with all these conditions, then we put a lot of faith into the human intellect. We have to know where to draw the line. Because a guy told me a few weeks ago that he thinks that his intellect is so advanced and it's so clear-cut to him to differentiate between good and bad that he doesn't need the Torah. Hashem, he believes in Hashem. Hashem gave him a solid, and this guy, he does. He has a very solid intellect. And let him decide what's moral, what's immoral. Let him decide between good and evil. Hashem gave me that present, so why shouldn't I use it to its fullest? And so we know he's wrong. The shaila is not, is he wrong, is he right? We know he's wrong. The question is, how wrong is he? I'm not so sure. Because we start off, "Ve'ela mishpatim," these are the laws. And mishpatim is taich, it's translated, the mitzvah sichlios, the understandable laws. The logical laws, the laws that make sense, not chazer, not you can't eat pig, not para aduma, the logical laws. So let's learn. What are the logical laws? Ki sikne eved ivri. And I'm surprised. Ki sikne eved ivri. You buy a Jewish slave. I don't know if I agree with this. To buy a Jewish slave? We don't believe in slavery. What do you do? Im adonav yitin lo isha, you could give him a shifcha k'nanis. You give him a guy to sleep with and make more slaves for yourself. This sounds absolutely immoral to me. First to have a slave, and then to give him a guy to sleep with and not marry, and then to take the children as your own slaves. Vim amar yomar eved, and if that eved ivri decides, ahavti es adoni ves ishti, I love so much this shifcha kananis, then he could stay, and he remains an eved. And then what do you do to him? V'yigishu adoinov el ha'aloikim. The pasuk calls it like it's a beautiful, righteous thing. Take him to God, it says. And by me, I don't think this is God. I am very confused. V'yigishu el ha'deles oya el mezuzah. V'rotzu adoinov. And you take a sharp tool, and you pierce the guy in the ear. It's a very painful experience. It's a very violent experience. And I'm very confused. This is the mitzvah sichlios. And they continue. V'chiyimkar ish ezbito la'amah. You sell your daughter to be a slave. Pachos miyud beishanim. She's less than 12 years old. A little girl, a child. You're selling her to be a slave. Ve'im livno yodena. Then the slave master who bought her has to make a decision when she turns 12. A baby. When she turns 12. Am I going to marry her against her will? Or is my son going to marry her against her will? Kind of lost. Maket ish vames. If you kill a person and he dies, most humans, you die. It's a death penalty. Most of us don't believe in this. The death penalty for every case of Ritzicha, but especially this case. What happened? Two Edim came over to him, and they saw him with the sword held above his head. They said, if you kill that guy, we're going to kill you. And then Af Al Pichin, he said, with his words, he said, Af Al Pichin, even with what you're telling me that they'll kill me, I'm still going to kill him. That, I don't know about, that's called, you could plead insanity. This guy's absolutely insane. In our courts, this guy pleads insanity. He's entirely off the hook. But the pasuk says, "Mos yumas." Invite him. Umake ovi ve'imo. If you hit your mother or father, hit, not kill. Hit to a point that your father has a slight bruise on his arm. You slapped your father and he has a bruise. Mos yumas. You should die. Another death sentence. Going if ishu mukharo, you kidnap some. We could go pasuk by pasuk. There's not one law that makes sense to me. Not only not one law that makes sense to me, not one law that I think I agree with. Not one law that I can understand. Nothing. You kidnap somebody, mos yumos. Makal ovi v'imo, you curse your father. Curse. You're not hitting him. You're not killing him. He got angry at pops. And I was, by accident, a curse came out of your mouth. Mos yumos. This is terribly immoral. Terribly. And these are the mitzvah sichlios. These are the mitzvahs we're supposed to understand. So I am. I'm terribly confused. I know a lot of guys say a teretz. Nah. It's back in the day. Back in the day. You know, they used to believe in slavery and all these things, a barbaric, underdeveloped, chaotic world. No. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Yoshua ben Nun. This is the Zakenim. And we're much more underdeveloped and barbaric and chaotic than they are. But for some reason, by them, Gantz mitzvah sichlius. They understood it, and they abide by it, and they held it dear to their hearts, that these are the laws that we yet understand. So I am. I'm terribly confused. So it's a medrash. Strange medrash. Very, very strange. Ve'elam mishpatim, says the Medrash. Maksiv l'malu min ha'parsha. What does it say before ve'elam mishpatim? Ve'shoftu es ha'om b'chol eis. You have to judge the nation at all times. Ve'omer kan ve'elam mishpatim. And then here it says ve'elam mishpatim. Ve'hadibrois be'emtza. So in the beginning of Yisro, it talks about dinim, social laws. And then it says about aseres hadibris, the Torah. And then now again about dinim, about social laws. Mashal l'matroyinu shehoysa ma'aleches. A special, beautiful woman walks down the street. And she can't walk by herself. It's not safe for her. Hazayin mikan v'hazayin mikan. So she has two guards on each side. One guy on the right protecting her, one guy on the left protecting her. V'hi be'emtzo. And she's in the middle. Kach ha'toyru. And that's the same thing about Torah. Dinin milfoneho, v'dinin me'achareho, v'hi be'emtzo. So you have the Torah is in the middle, That was Aseret HaDibros. Prior to the Torah, we had dinim, and post-Torah, we had dinim. So Torah is here, and you have dinim on its right, and dinim on its left. What's the difference? I thought Torah is dinim. I thought dinim is Torah. It's all the same thing. Torah is not dinim, and dinim is not Torah. From where? So I'll tell you my son. I was sitting on a guy's couch a few years ago, and he starts telling me about the world politics. And he was very angry, very angry. He started telling me, you know what goes on in the religious communities today? White collar crimes, embezzling money, laundering money, Ponzi schemes, terrible things. And we need to have conferences and conventions, and we need to speak to people, to speak to religious Jews. This doesn't go. You can't do like this. Everybody's stealing money from everybody else. Everybody's trying to find a way to make the money look kosher, to cheat on their taxes. This is rampant around all the religious communities, he was saying. This is so common. And he was going on, and he was telling me that how come people are not makbid on gezel? He's a religious fellow, this guy. How come people are not makbid on gezel? They're not makbid on geneva? They're not careful about their money, about other people's money? And on, and I was listening, and I could listen to this. This is very nice. And then he went on, and he kept going. And a little bit, I started to listen less. And then he kept going on. And then he did a big mistake. He showed me a video. He showed me a video on his machine, on his little machine that he carries around. And on this machine, he shows me a video of this is how he told it to me. This is a world-renowned lawyer. A world-renowned lawyer is speaking at a convention, explaining to people why you're not allowed to steal, and you're not allowed to do embezzlement, and you're not allowed to do money laundering, and he's telling religious Jews not to steal. A world-renowned lawyer. And he went on and on. And I asked him, if this guy was your next-door neighbor, this guy who's laundering all the money, if he was your next-door neighbor, what would you do? He told him, if he was my next-door neighbor, I would go knock down his door and tell him, you can't do this. It's a terrible thing you're doing. It's wrong. It's immoral. So he told me, it's the most immoral crime a Jew can do. So I asked him, and what if you found out this neighbor of yours, he wasn't embezzling money, with money kosher. What if you found out your next-door neighbor was shaving with a razor, with a blade? He looked at me. A razor? Shaving? What does that have to do? What are you talking about? And then I said to him, and what if you found out that the guy doesn't keep Hilchus Muktzah? He's not makbid. He's not makbid on Muktzah. And he looked at me like, I see everybody else looking at me right now. What are you talking about? What does that have to do with anything? And then I tried to hit it home, maybe. I said to him, what if you found out a crazy thing? A thing that I'm even embarrassed to say with my mouth. But what if you found out next door neighbor at weddings and bar mitzvahs greets other people's wives with a kiss on the cheek? He looked at me, what are you talking about? I'm talking about morals and you're talking about religion. Religion has nothing to do. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He said. I'm talking about morals. And you're bringing in religion? And so then, yeah. So then I did understand. I understood a lot of things. I understood that a few weeks ago, I was riding in a taxi and blasting on the radio of this taxi driver. I couldn't not listen. With some radio talk show host, an Israeli, he sounded half religious. Religious enough to care about the following issue. And he started to preach on his podium of this radio show. And he started to preach. And he said, it's such a terrible thing. They take so much money from the government, these religious extremist schools, and they separate the boys and girls. Boys and girls have to have separate classes. You need more money for teachers. You need more money for buildings. You need more money for classrooms. They're stealing from the government. What's so bad, he said. What's so bad? Halacha class. He was talking about the whole facet of religious Jewry. Halacha class. The boys need to learn Hilchos Bishul on Shabbos? Yeah. The girls need to know Hilchos Bishul on Shabbos? Yeah. So what's so bad to put them in the same classroom? Now, Chas V'Shalom, he said, I'm not talking about in the shuls. In the shuls, you leave the mechitzas, the Kedushas based Knesses has to have a mechitza, but they're learning the laws. They're just learning the laws of Shabbos. And he has to know the laws, and she has to know the laws. So they're learning the laws, and they both have to know, what's so bad? Put them in the same classroom. And it's like a friend of mine told me a couple years ago, he's in Hebrew U, and he said to me, my favorite class, he's studying law, my favorite class in Hebrew U, it's called Mishpat Ivri. Mishpat Ivri, Jewish law. Sounds so nice. Sounds so nice. What's Mishpat Ivri? He said, you know, every day of the week, we have, based on Judeo-Christian law, and sometimes they teach us about German law, and all different kinds of European law, and once a week we get a rabbi, he comes into the class, and he teaches us from a Shulchan Aruch, he told me. From a Shulchan Aruch, we learn Mishpat Ivri, the Jewish law, Choshen Mishpat. Jewish laws, ribbis, interest, onah, cheating, gezel, stealing, geneva, all the Jewish law that applies in the court system. We learned this. And I scratched my head. Who's in this class? This is a university. This is boys and girls together. Sophisticated. Of course. I mean, of course boys and girls together. Sophisticated. And they said, wait a second, this is Hebrew U. Stomach, this Arabs in the class also. Yeah. There's Arabs also in the class. There's Goyim in the class. So what's so bad? It's my favorite class. Mishpat Ivri. What's so bad? What's so bad to have the boy and the girl learning halacha together? They both need to know. What's so bad to have Mishpat Ivri? So nice. A beautiful thing. And you're all looking at me like, why does he think it's so bad? Why is it so bad? It's not so bad. So I don't know. I know a Gemara. There's no Brisa. Gittin. The Brisa says like this. Hoyer bitar von oimer. The Heilige Rabbi Tarfon, a Tana, whose Chachma is beyond any human being's Chachma in this generation, in this world. Hoyer Rabbi Tarfon Oimer, Kol Malkum She'atam Oitzi Aguriyos Shel Oivdei Koychovim. If you find courts, groups, courts of Goyim, Afal Pisha Dinehem Kedine Yisrael, I Ato Rosho Elihizokik Lohem. You're not allowed to go to Goyisha courts. Can't go to a Goyisha court. From where? How does he know? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ve'ele hamishpatim asher tosim lifneihem." These are the laws you put in front of them, in front of them. Lifneihem ve'loy lifnei oivdei koychovim. In front of them and not in front of Goyim. Now, I understand, manushach. If the laws of the Goyim are different laws than the Jews, so pshita, so it's pashat. Of course, you don't go to Goyish court. It's a different law. It's not true judgment. But if the laws are the same as the Jewish laws, so why not? So what's so bad? So we just need to look at Rashi in the beginning of the parasha. Says the Hilga Rashi, "Lefneihem v'loy lefnei oivdei kochavim." You can't go to goyish courts. Why not? Va'afilu yodato b'din echod shehin donin oisei kedini Yisrael. But you know, in that specific judgment, they have the exact same halacha as the Jewish courts. So what's so bad? Al tevi'ehu be'erko u'shelahem. Rashi says, "Shamei v'dini Yisrael lefnei aromim." Because if you go to goyish courts, mechalel es hashem. Mechalel es Hashem. It's a chil Hashem, Rashi says. I don't understand what's so bad. This is one medrash. And I think this medrash, if it doesn't clarify, this clarifies my whole life. My whole life is clarified from this one medrash. Zok the Hilga medrash. We're going to tell a story. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim. It's the pasuk that says Magid Devar of Yaakov. Hashem teaches his words to Yaakov. Pam achas amrle Achilles Adrenis. There's a fellow named Achilles, a guy, and he told his Adrenis Amelech. He told the king, maybe his relative, his friend, I don't know. He told the king, the Goyish king, Reitza on his gayer v'liha also Yisrael. I want to convert and I want to become a Jew. Amrle leumazu atem mevakish. You want to become a Jew? Kamu bazisi oisa. How much have I disgraced the Jewish nation? Kamu harakti oisa. How much have I killed from the Jewish nation? Li yeruda sheba umo isatu mevakish lehis arev. To the lowliest of nations, that's who you want to get close to. Maro isa bohem sheatu reitza lehis gayer. What have you seen among the Jews that you want so badly to convert? Amr lei hakotun shebahem yoideha yeich boro hakodish boruchu esa oilun. The smallest among the Jews know how Hashem created the world. Ma nivra b'yom rishon u'ma nivra b'yom sheni v'kama yesh misha nivra ha'olam v'yalma ha'olam oimed v'toyrasan emes. V'toyroson emes. And the Torah is true. All the kids know how the world was created. V'toyroson emes. And the Torah is true, Akilah said. Amalei. So we could deal with that. That's okay. That's not the end of the world. Lech v'lom v'toyroson. So go learn their Torah. V'al timo. But why you got to do the whole business? A bris milah, a conversion, not necessary. Leich lomit teirasun ve'altimol. So we could solve that problem that you're living through. Go learn the Torah and don't become a Jew. Amar le'akilus. Afilu chacham shibamalchuscha. Even the wisest men in your kingdom, v'zokin ben me'ashana, and the oldest sages of 100 years. Eino yachol lilmoid teirasan, are unable to learn the Halakha Torah. Im eino mol, he does not have a bris milah, and that's what the pasuk says. Magid devar of Yaakov huk of mishpat of Yisrael, that Hashem tells his words, his mishpatim to klal Yisrael le'asa kein lekol goy, and he doesn't tell his mishpatim to all the other nations elami, and to who specifically and only and exclusively does he tell his mishpatim to klal Yisrael. So a guy asked me last year, he said to me, all the laws I understand, all the mishpatim, I understand the whole Torah, everything makes a lot of sense, I'm in it, I want it, I'll be a part of it. One thing I don't understand, troubling him the whole year, at the end of the year he came to me, the whole year, one thing I don't understand. Smash, I looked up to him, it's a pella. Everything he understands. Kimat Moshe Rabbeinu he's holding by. One thing he told me he doesn't understand. Shomer Negiah. I just don't get it. I don't get Shomer Negiah. It doesn't make sense. It's not part of my moral code, he told me. I don't understand anything about it. And by me, I said to him, so funny. The whole Mishpatim, I don't understand not even one thing. Punt Shomer Negiah. One thing I do understand. Because let me tell you something about this guy and about a lot of guys. People made up a word called morals. You know what this word means? Nobody knows what it means. This is not a real word. Morals is not a real word. Morals is a podium that people are very excited to stand upon and to preach to the world about their own biased agendas that have no truth or rhyme or reason. But it allows them to perceive themselves as good and upstanding individuals who can go into the weddings and bar mitzvahs and kiss other people's wives on the cheek. It's just a greeting. It's only a greeting. That's how I say hello. You know, how do you say hello? Not like that. That's how we say hello in our communities. A hug and a peck on the cheek. I am a very moral and upstanding individual. And I also, you know what else I do? I kill unborn babies because I think that's perfectly moral, because we decided in Congress and the Senate, because most of the guys over there raised their hands. When they said yeah, most of the guys raised their hands. So we're allowed, yeah, to kill unborn babies. 6 months, maybe four, maybe eight. We'll decide next week how many children we're allowed to kill. And maybe so much that ad kedei kach, you could have somebody in the dorms that wakes up somebody else in the middle of the night and you tell them, it's morning time, my friend. Come to Shacharis. And your friend goes in the shower, gets all dressed up, on his way out to Shacharis. And then the whole chevra, ha ha ha, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. This is a prank. But this is a prank. We prank each other in the room. That's how we do it. That's the roommates. We're used to this. We prank each other. This is absolutely a moral society. Because you made your morals. Yeah. If we make our morals, everything I do is also moral. I'll decide what's yeah, I'll decide what's not, I'll decide who I hurt, who I can give pain to, who I can kill. Nobody's going to stop me. Because I made my own Torah. A whole Torah. And then I look at his Torah. I look at the Halakha Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. And nothing I understand. Nothing's moral. And nothing makes sense. I don't understand nothing. And then a question. The whole time, I say to the Torah, the whole time, I thought you were crooked. I thought this book was crooked. Nothing. It all doesn't make any sense. Maybe I'm crooked. Maybe we're crooked. Maybe we don't understand what sichlius is all about. And it's the first Rashi. Ve'ela mishpatim. Kol makom she'ne'amar ela, whenever it says the word ela, pasul es harishonim. It tells us whatever was said prior is irrelevant. Moisif, but if it says ve'ela with a vav, Moisif al rishonim, ma harishonim misinai, af elu misinai. Just like the dibros were said at Sinai, so too the mishpatim were said at Sinai. It's pshita. Of course, these mishpatim were said at Sinai. No, Rashi's telling us a moiri tikachidish. Rashi's telling us a beautiful thing. That you think just the dibros, that's with the koilus who brought him, the excitement of the Eibishter, and you think the mishpatim is a moral code that allows societies to continue in their beautiful way to allow civilization to thrive. No, he says. Mishpatim are from Sinai. And Hashem decides how moral codes go. Because I'm going to tell you something very extreme. And you can argue. Jews are immoral people. We don't need the world's morals. Because we have much better than morals. And we're much more advanced than morals. And we're much more developed than morals. Because we have the Ribbono Shel Olam. And by me personally, it troubles me sometimes when I go to America and in the shuls I daven at, they bring in scholars in residence to preach about moral and ethical codes that exist in the world, in the government, in the nation. And they tell all these Jews about what's yeah moral and what's yeah ethical and what you should be doing. And I look at them, I say, I don't run by your morals. I have somebody who has objective morals, unbiased, without an agenda. And there's a moiridika maise with the briskerov. At the Brisker Rav sat in shul, and a guy walks in the middle of Kriya Shema, and he runs up to the Brisker Rav, and he says, Rav, there's a guy in Brisk, they're going to kill him. It's a death sentence. Come now. The police officers in Brisk told us that you come now, you could say his last vidui with him. They're going to allow him time to say his last vidui. They're waiting for you to come. He sat there silenced. Waved his finger. Not gone. They didn't know what to think. 10 minutes later, they came in again, and they thought he didn't hear right. They came in again, Rav, a guy's about to die. He wants to say his last vidui. Come to him. Come help him. His last chance to get into Olam Haba. You don't care? Waved his finger, as if to say, I heard you the first time. I'm not coming. The third time already, they thought, he's Meshuggah. He lost his mind, the Brisker Rav. And they run to him again. The guy's going to die. His last vidui. Are you cruel? No. So a guy in the back said, I also have smicha. I'm also a Rav. Let me go. The Rav lost his mind. I'm going to go to this guy to do him his last saving grace, to save vidui with this poor Jew. And a few weeks later, somebody had the guts to ask the Brisker Rav, the Heilige Brisker Rav, the Kaddish, what happened? What were you doing? And he said, I know what's going on in all your heads. You're all so compassionate and loving, and you all preach your morals that we go see vidui with this last Jew. And I want to tell you, he said, not one of you cares about that Jew. Not one of you. With all your morals, all your integrity, and all your perception, not one of you cares. Because when you heard that Jew needs to hear vidui, so you went to him to say vidui. When I hear that Jew needs to say vidui, I hear the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I hear the Torah. And the Torah says, if you are able to make somebody die 1 second faster, you are goyrem, you are causing ritzicha. And I knew the second that I go to that guy, right after the vidui, they'll kill him. So I stayed in my seat, and he lived another 10 minutes. And he told me again, come say vidui so they should kill him. And I stayed in my seat. And he lived yet another 10 minutes. And then the third time, I gave the guy half hour of life. I love that human being. Because with all our great intellect and our developed civilization and the morals we conjured up straight from our bellies, because nowhere else, not even from our minds, nobody could understand the moral code that the Brisker Rav had. And just to make exciting from the story, because it happens to be true, at the 35-minute mark, testimony came forward to save that Jew. But it was too late. Because somebody was so compassionate and loving and moral to go save his life with his final viduing. And maybe if the Brisker Rav would have been able to push maybe five more, just five more minutes, he would have maybe lived. So the only way I understand the mitzvah sichlius is I chazer in my head a pasuk that it says, Mishpatei Hashem emes. The mishpatim of Hashem are true. And if I think they're not true, maybe I need to re-examine myself. Mishpatei Hashem emes. But I'll never understand them. Will I never understand them? Can I ever understand them? And the pasuk ends. Me'iras einayim. They're going to lighten my eyes. I will understand. They're going to light up my eyes. They're going to light up my heart. They're going to light up my intellect. And one day I will understand as I keep going through the Eilat Torah that Mishpatei Hashem Emes. Mishpatei Hashem Emes. It's Emes V'Kayim Lo'ad. And this is the true Emes Immorals. The Emes Immorals, and Mirtz Hashem, we should all v'schus Asyata D'Shmaya, we should experience Me'iras Inayim, that our eyes will be able to see the true Amitoi Shel Davar, that Hashem and these Mishpatim, that's the Seichel of a human being. And everything else, maybe that's crooked. The Shabbos.